The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good times.
But so many poor choices. This is the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
And it is Daylight Savings Weekend coming up, y'all. Don't forget, you get to spring forward for all those who still do that. Some states stopped them.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think Hawaii does.
Mm-mm.
Like, Hawaii right now, I believe, is 5 hours different, and then it turns to 6 hours different because we change our time.
Yeah.
I
know Oregon was looking to pass the bill, but it got shut down this year. So they are going to be changing.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, some don't. Lucky sons of bitches.
I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. I've been doing it for 40 years at this point. It doesn't affect me that much.
You say that. But this is when we lose the hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
I'm just anticipating the worst.
I'm like, you're just a little off for a day. It's fine.
Yeah, it used to be like that. Who knows anymore? I might be super fucky by the time I wake up. Somebody else.
How about we not anticipate things
I'm just being that are fucky
that have not happened yet and are not likely to?
Try to be proactive. God.
I'm trying to keep a positive mindset.
I'm all about positivity. I am. I could be positively proactive. If.
Okay. You just prepare for it. You just go to bed at 7 p.m.
Pretty much. I mean, that's ideal any night anyway. Like, I wake up dream about when I can go back to bed. Stupid.
Oh, funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a beautiful day here in Michigan. And I took podcast pet Emma for a walk before this. And so right now she's snoring. So hopefully you guys can't hear the snoring.
Sweet. Oh, no, but we can't hear it. But it'd be welcomed if we could.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to keep any and all noise at a minimum because she was very barky today. I tried to like air out the house and have the doors open, and any little thing that came by was setting her off.
Yep.
So
100%.
I currently am also in the process of moving. And so I have a lot of stuff off the walls and a lot of things packed up. The house is getting emptier by the moment, but that makes her barks just ring. Like they are echoing, bouncing off of these blank walls. I was like, oh my God, I am going to lose it on you.
It's so funny. It cracks me up because Squeebs also decided today was her time to shine. She's like, Mom, it's springtime out. It's nice outside. I need my revolving door. Like this is the year I'm getting her a doggy door because I can't do it anymore. I'll be in the middle of something very important with like very important people. And she'd be like, I'm trying to get outside. I'm like, God, I can't even look at you to give you a dirty look right now.
So, yeah, boy.
I'll be implementing one of those soon, I hope.
Yeah. Let me know how that goes. Do you need an extra wide door for her?
Very reasonable question. I'm fairly certain we can get away with a large door for both of them, but we'll see.
I'd love to see if she gets like stuck and then you have a picture of like just her back half stuck in the house.
Right. With the front half looking behind her like, Mom, somebody,
somebody
give me a push.
Somebody get the butter. Goodness.
Yeah, really hoping we can get one of those this year because, I mean, we have a fenced in yard. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I personally would probably find it super convenient half the time and then probably annoying the other half of the time.
Right. Yeah. So. There's balance in all things. As we are finding out.
Man. Uh-huh. So just quick personal update.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I mentioned, I'm moving and I am getting the floors refinished at my new house. And the floor refinishing guy texted me yesterday asking if he could start a day later. So instead of starting on Monday, starting on Tuesday. And I am typically a very flexible person. And to be honest, like, I could have probably worked it out, but I already had plans to have people help me this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And by moving it out a day means I'd lose a weekend day, right? So like you wouldn't be able to walk on it until Sunday if he started on Tuesday. So I was like, it's kind of messing with my schedule. Like I have people lined up to help me this weekend and I'd have to ask them to like move it from Saturday to Sunday. And the whole reason he asked me is because they're at another job. Those people went out of town earlier than expected. So he could have like finished that other job, then came and started mine. So now he has like an unfinished job and he has my job. But that was how it was going to be. Like this has been the plan for a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he responded with, you know, like, just thought I'd ask. And I'm like, yep, never hurts to ask, you know?
Right, right.
And then my mom, who was the person that I was saying was going to come help me this weekend, my mom texted me and was like, it would be better if I came out on Sunday instead of Saturday. Why do I feel bad in this situation now? Like, I shouldn't. Like, the whole plan was for him to always start on Monday. And like I said, I typically am an extremely flexible person. And so I don't know. I've been like overthinking it for some reason. It's been like lingering. And the fact that I was like, no, how about not be flexible this time? And I don't know why. It's so weird. Like, obviously, we had a plan and we're sticking to it. There shouldn't be an issue on my end.
Right. But at the same time, you're that gap filler that's like, oh, okay, and everything can be in its place now. Everything will work out smoothly. And honestly, anyway, who cares?
Huh?
You can give yourself that Saturday and
oh,
Sunday
I know.
Anyway,
like,
right?
In this situation, I need every day I can get.
Yeah, exactly.
So whether or not people were coming on Saturday doesn't really matter. Like, I still need the Saturday. But yeah. It's so weird. I just thought I'd share like that. It makes no sense that I feel bad for telling him no. When telling him no is just sticking with our original plan. Like, what is wrong with me?
People pleasing.
Is that what it, is that what it is? People pleasing.
That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Okay.
Because now that you're a business owner and you can't really say no to anybody anymore. That's how you're coping now because you did say no.
I don't know. It is weird. I'm kind of like, hopefully there's no weird karma. Like when I need to be flexible or like when I need to move something, hopefully somebody moves for me or whatever. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You're overthinking it.
I already said that, but I just was like, I think I need to do a reality check. I think I need to do a check-in. So thank you.
Yep. You're fine. All good. You should. That's just like a learned behavior after not being in corporate America and telling people no for a couple of years. Because she used to be really good at it. Not feeling bad about it either.
I don't know what the deal is with this situation.
Oh, that's so funny. Toxic positivity. Wreaking havoc.
So weird. So weird.
So funny.
So anyway, in case anybody else was feeling like, I don't know, they could have been flexible. They could have moved things, but they said no instead. We're going to band together. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop this people pleasing situation.
But it's also like more effort, mental energy to continue to do with the moving. Like, just leave it. You already put all the effort you needed to in it the first time around. Moving on.
Yes.
Don't like to revisit shit.
So anyway, thank you all for my quick therapy session.
Yeah, we're here for you. We'll be here for your next TED Talk as well.
Typically, I would have positioned this as my atta girl at the end of the episode where I'm like, no, I did my part. I scheduled it. I worked in advance, you know, proud of myself for sticking to my guns. And then this time I'm like, I could have moved it. I could have helped him out, but I didn't. Does that make me a bad human? Oh my God. Anyway, here we go.
Nobody's crying. Ready? Nobody's dying. It's all good.
You mean, oh my gosh, we have to stick to the original plan? That's wild.
Well,
I honestly was like, actually, if there's anything that is a hiccup or goes wrong, I don't have any buffer room. That was really my thought, is like, throughout the week, if something happens and they run out of stain, they can't fix something, whatever, then if we've pushed it a day, then I continue to lose days.
Right. And ultimately, so, I think that's your underlying subconscious for telling them no.
Yes.
Trust your gut, damn it.
It
Trust
is.
Trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of you.
Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, sometimes you just need to, you know, talk it out.
Yeah.
Our hoe of history today, I came across today. not the best planning on my part, but I left it for today, and it actually worked out. Because I didn't have anybody specifically in mind. And I was scrolling Facebook. And Mercedes-Benz did a post for Women's History Month. Because it's March. So it's Women's History Month now. Yep. Right?
Hallelujah and holy shit.
It's our time for at least for our show. I'm not saying ours in all women. I'm just saying our show.
You and I, appropriate.
Yes,
the Homance Chronicles.
Yeah, yeah. That's Women's specific. History Month is our jam.
It's our weight. It's our. Just keep going. I don't know. I'm gonna fuck it up.
So this post from Mercedes-Benz was about Bertha Benz. Bertha. I'm gonna try to say it.
It's like Bertha. It's like Bertha.
Bertha. Well, it's spelled Bertha, Bertha, but she's German, so.
Oh yeah.
Bertha. And they were like, she's basically the pioneer of all automotive. I was like, what? What is happening?
Oh, this is my industry. I'm so very excited.
I know. I like the way they wrote the post about her. It was like she was the originator of all things automotive. And I was like, huh? What?
Ford who? Fuck that guy.
So it was beautifully placed into my hands for today. So Bertha Benz was a founder and pioneer who helped launch the world's very first car.
Gang, gang.
Here we go.
Yes, sadly, it did not happen in the United States of America, as everybody thinks it did. It did not. We are famous for the first assembly line for automotive, but the vehicles rolled off the lot before the states got their hands on them.
Yeah. Well, this is like pre.
Mm-hmm.
So Bertha was born Cecily Bertha Ringer on May 3rd, 1849. Ooh. In Forsheim, Germany. Bertha was the third of nine children. Her father, Carl Ringer, was a master builder and carpenter, and her mother, Augusta or Augusta, Augusta Frederick, her parents basically were wealthy. I don't know if it was generational wealth or if they're wealthy as individuals or they built this wealth, but Berta was born into wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And they invested heavily in their children's educations. So Berta attended a boarding school in Forsheim for 10 years and was known for her ambition and fascination with technological innovation. So there's not a lot more on her upbringing or childhood. I mean, most of the sources jump right into her meeting Carl Benz.
Mm-hmm.
So on June 27th, 1869, she's about 20. She meets engineer Carl Benz during an excursion organized by the social club Eintracht. And Carl was a passionate inventor who was mainly interested in developing an engine for a horseless carriage. And so Berta believed that Carl's potential as an inventor and her admiration for his work led her to invest personal funds into his projects.
Ooh.
So although Carl's vision was promising, he continuously failed.
bom, bom, bom.
2 years before they got married, they were engaged. She had her dowry paid early to buy out Carl's unreliable business partner, August Ritter. So Carl was in an almost hopeless financial situation with a failing iron construction company due to his business partner.
Good Lord. So wait, she had a dowry? Germans paid dowries back in the day?
Yeah.
Curious.
Again, wealthy family. Not all Germans. Yes. Not all.
Fair. Curious.
So because she was not married yet, she was able to retain legal power as a business investor.
Oh, I'm very curious of women's international women's laws, you know, in the other countries and stuff.
Mm-hmm. However, after they got married, she no longer was considered an investor.
No, you can't, because you're property still, apparently.
Even though her dowry was being used to finance the projects, she was not listed as like business owner or investor or anything after they got married.
Wait a minute. So she not only did you get a wife, but you got a chunk of change with your wife?
Oh, he got a sugar mama and she was young.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah. Huh. So Berta and Carl got married on July 20th, 1872. She was about 23 years old. And at this time, Carl moved on to a new manufacturing venture, Benz & Co. He continued to use her dowry as financial support.
So she's a private investor at this point.
Yes. So in addition to her providing financial support, she often provided hands-on help with the projects as well. So they would work together on trying to invent motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
So
what was
they
her
also
her background, her education background, did they say?
She went to boarding school in Forsheim, right, but didn't say anything about continued
subjects.
Education after that.
Okay.
No. I mean, it was always mentioned that she was interested in tech and innovation.
Yeah.
So they went on to have 5 children between the years of 1873 and 1890. So the first 3, they popped out kind of fast. And then there was more time in between the others. So they had Eugen, Richard, Clara, Tilde, and Ellen.
And Ted.
So their first 3 children, so they had their first 3 children before they were able to get the 2-stroke engine to work. So while she's getting pregnant and giving birth to 3 different children, they're tinkering around with this engine trying to get it to work.
Fucking an inventin'. Doesn't sound terrible if you ask me. Sign me up.
If we didn't name these episodes after the women, that would be the title. Fucking and inventin'.
We can always start. It is our right. podcast.
Yeah. On New Year's Eve, 1879, they finally get this engine to work. And then a year later, in December 1885, they now have finished the first horseless carriage, and they called it a motor wagon.
A motor wagon.
Yeah.
I like this concept of a motor wagon.
Yeah. So
two-stroke, too. That's what we have currently in, like, some lawnmowers and some mm-hmm. snow throwers. That's typical of your smaller engine needs mm-hmm. anymore. Not a whole-ass vehicle that moves humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, I know. I figured.
So Beretta served as a field tester, contributing to the design of the motor wagon by adding wire insulation and inventing leather brake pads to supplement the wooden brakes. She identified several key areas of opportunities, such as fuel line design, and Carl actually later improved many things based on her feedback. Meanwhile, she's still supporting this whole thing financially.
And pregnant, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's so, a total package, y'all.
Seriously. I want to marry her.
Me first.
On January 29th, 1886, Carl Benz files a patent application for his motor car with gas engine operation, known as the patent motor wagon. During the application process, she could not legally apply for the patent alongside her husband, despite her financial and practical engineering contributions.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So this new means of transportation, this motor wagon, is met with deep skepticism.
Of course, of course.
Yes. So Carl was struggling to market it to the public. People were uncertain about the practicality of a horseless carriage, and the motor engine had not yet been tested over long distances.
So this is fairly reminiscent to the conversations in the States where they were like, you don't need a, you just need faster horses. That's all you need. You don't need a motorized engine to move you. Like,
right, right.
Just get the fucking car, buddy.
Yeah. So Beretta is convinced that the day-to-day reliability of the new vehicle is needed and that you have to physically demonstrate it to the public.
Mm-hmm. She's not wrong.
So, in August 1888, Beretta Benz and her sons, Eugene, who's 15, and Richard, who's 13 or 14, set out in Carl's motorized vehicle without his knowledge.
Of course they did. I love her. Come on, guys. Let's get in Dad's car.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably worth my entire life savings.
And yeah, yours, so it's and yours. It's her car. It's yes. her car. Oh, it gets better.
I love
she
her.
Left a note for Carl on the dining table stating that she and their sons were going to visit her mother in Forsheim. She had her sons push the motor wagon away from the house before starting the engine so she wouldn't wake him up.
I love her.
She just left him with, like, the other kids, the three other yeah. kids.
Well, they are
and
his.
And a note.
So?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like,
this is
no warning.
Yeah. I mean, you have to imagine that people who have that ability to think like that, you know, to invent stuff like that, also don't have the foresight to be like, I'm going to go do this tomorrow. They're just going to go.
No, I think she had the foresight and didn't want to be stopped. I think that her husband would have thought it was, like, unsafe.
Oh, there's that lens too. In my mind.
That's what I think. I think she was doing it secretly because otherwise they were going to get in a fight, or he wasn't going to let her, or whatever. Like, that's my take on it, because I will tell you about this trip.
Okay. Because my lens is they are equals in the relationship, although the law doesn't see them as such. So she is free to do whatever the fuck it is that she wants, primarily because she funded the whole goddamn thing. So he has nothing he can say to her anyway.
Yeah.
But that's me.
I mean, that's a part of it. That I feel like that is a part of her gumption, you yeah. know?
Yeah.
Her chutzpah. So she did not have a driver's license at the time.
Because did they even have them?
Carl had received the world's first driver's license only a few days prior to this happening.
She did not tell him then on purpose. That's 100% true. She's like, fuck you guys, I can drive too, goddammit. Chutzpah.
Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of firsts in this story.
Sure is.
So Barris's journey with her sons marks the first long distance journey in an automobile. So this trio traveled from Mannheim to Pforzheim in about 13 hours.
Oh my God. I was thinking it was like 5 hours one way. No.
Well, there's lots of stops along the way, but it was also 60 miles. So no, she really went for it.
She was not fucking around. She trusted her shit that well.
Yeah, it was 60 miles, around 100 kilometers of unpaved roads.
Oh, the jostling.
Yes.
Did they build shocks into this thing? I probably know. Probably not.
No. No. So, Carl, I'll ruin the ending of the story a little bit by saying like she makes it to her mother's.
Well, I imagine
she makes
so.
It there. But when she gets there, Carl's notified that the motor wagon's a success by telegram. News of this sensational event spreads like wildfire.
She went and did it.
Two young boys and a woman on a hissing, thumping, horseless carriage. This could only be the work of the devil himself, some said.
Oh, she's such a troll. I love her.
I know. So let's talk about this motor wagon.
Oh, okay? I'm like in tears laughing about this. This is fucking hilarious.
Well, one of the stories that I read, or like one of the, like, it's like more of like a blog post. This guy goes, for a long time, this story was not believed because it sounds like it's a Disney story. So it's been, they've had to prove it over and over with different evidence and stuff throughout the years because people are like, no fucking way, you know?
Yes, yes, fucking way. She did when did that. She invented the fucking thing and then she decided to use it. Why is it so outstanding for people to actually believe? Like, fathom it.
Like, it's like, it was like, it was like folklore or something. Anyway.
The mystical Bertha.
Yes.
She comes through at night in June. You can hear her children bopping around in a hissing, horseless motor.
Thumping, horseless carriage. Yes. So the motor wagon had powered rear wheels with a ringed steel and solid rubber, like, front wheel. The front wheel was steerable, but it was a very simple steering mechanism. It was like a bike. Like, it had two handles, but instead of the handles being like the birds that, you know, like the, you know what I'm talking about? Those little like scooter birds, you know, how those handles are like, well, the handles were vertical instead. Yeah, you're flying a plane.
Like a zero turn lawnmower situation.
Yeah. And
like levers. God.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine a video game, I guess.
Yeah, could you imagine trying to drive something with just like two levers right and left? No, I would crash it.
So it's basically a giant tricycle, is what it is. it's got a horse carriage style seat in the back over top of the two back tires. But yeah, it's like bicycle steering and a 1.6 liter engine.
Oh my God. No. I wonder how much gas it took.
I don't know how much. Yeah, I do. Just kidding. Berta had to, you know, be resourceful along this journey.
I imagine so.
Because there was no fuel tank.
Right. It I had imagine a, there was no fuel station either.
There was not. There was a 4.5 liter supply of petrol in the carburetor. So she had to go find Ligrin, the petroleum solvent needed for the car to run. So this solvent was only available at apothecary shops. So she stopped in Weislach, at the city pharmacy to purchase the fuel.
She's on a fucking side quest. She's got side quests for her main quests.
Yes. So at the time, petrol and other fuels could only be brought from, like, could only be bought from chemists. So this is how a chemist in Weislach became the first fuel station in the world.
Oh my God. When I had approved a bunch of shit all at once. Shit, you motherfuckers. I'm going to drive this bitch and I'm going to make sure you go. It's sustainable to drive this bitch. There's an arc. There's an infrastructure here, damn it.
Yeah. So she cleaned a block fuel line with her hat pin.
Of course.
And then used her garter as an insulation material.
As one does. Because what the fuck does that do otherwise? Nothing. There's no point.
She had a blacksmith help mend a chain at one point. When the wooden brakes began to fail is when she visited the cobbler to install the leather, making it the world's first pair of brake linings.
So smart, though. So fucking smart.
And then an evaporative cooling system was employed to cool the engine, making water supply a big worry along the whole trip. So the trio added water to their supply every time they stopped. The car's gears were not enough to go on uphill inclines. So her sons had to push the vehicle and her.
That's why she actually brought them.
Yes. It's manpower, 100%. Wow. I had told you at the beginning of the story that she used them to push this thing out.
Yeah.
Silently. So she wouldn't get.
Well, then she was like, get the fuck out and push. I'm leaving you in the middle of nowhere.
So
I feel like this is a Bedknobs and Broomsticks type tale. You know what I'm talking about? That movie from Disney a long time ago. This is that. Yeah. This is what it reminds me of.
Mm-hmm. But that's why the guy in the blog post was like, people think this is a Disney story.
Yes.
Because you just said it.
It's an adventure, goddammit.
But yeah, I mean, unbelievably smart and resourceful and like, how would you come up with these things unless you had an engineer mind?
And an intimate knowledge of the actual machine you were driving around. Let's be honest for a moment. People don't know that much about their vehicles today. They would never be able to do anything like what she did.
No.
It's incredible. Just goes to show she knew what the fuck was going on in that thing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than him.
Yep. So Marita achieved what she set out to do. Critics had been silenced. At least where, like, reliability was concerned. And so now everyone's talking about the Benz patent motor car. So without the commitment and resolution of Berta, the automobile world would undoubtedly have a slightly more difficult journey into the future. And Carl Benz later wrote in the following, in his memoir, quote, "Only one person remained with me in the small ship of life when it seemed destined to sink. That was my wife. Bravely and resolutely, she set the new sails of hope."
Oh.
I know.
So he did have a respect for her.
Yeah, they worked together. Like, they were, they really were partners. Like, he respected her. But, I mean, also, if he didn't, he didn't have much choice. Like, he... His whole life was being funded by her, I mean, is what it seems like, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that road taken from her house to her mother's house.
Is it a road? Was it actually a road or a path?
Well, no, it was a path, but now it's a road.
I know.
That still exists, and it's known as the Berta Benz Memorial Route.
Oh, we gotta go. We have to go. If we ever get back to Germany, we're going on that fucking path.
So Carl Benz was inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame in 1984. But Bertha was not inducted until 2016.
Oh, when people got woke?
Yes. Just a few years ago.
You should see my face. Well, as we discussed last week, lynching was only made illegal at a federal level in 2022 when it had been over 100 fucking years.
Yeah.
So, not shocking.
Yes. But they are the first married couple ever to be inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame.
That's so cool.
So Bertha died 2 days after her 95th birthday.
Girl
on
lived
May
it too.
5th, 1944. She lived till 95 in 1944.
That's incredible. But it also goes to show, like, she had it figured out.
I also feel like a lot of times people say that if you keep your mind going, you like you'll stay going, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's why with older people, they're always like, do puzzles or crosswords or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like keep the mind going, right? I'm sure she never like just stopped tinkering and
probably not.
So she passed away in the village of Ladenburg, where Carl's workshop had been built after they moved there in 1906. So he established a solely family-held business called Benz and Sons. Carl Benz had died about 15 years earlier in 1929, and that was after the success of Daimler-Benz was assured.
Mm-hmm.
So members of the family resided in that home for 25 more years. The Benz home has now been designated as a historic site and is used as a scientific meeting facility for a nonprofit foundation. It's called
That's
the
cool.
Yeah, it's called the Daimler and Benz Foundation, and they promote science and research in order to gain a better understanding of the correlation between man, the environment, and technology.
Very cool. I love hearing this. It didn't get destroyed in the war or anything
Nope.
crazy like that. It's still there.
Yep.
Yay.
And then I copied this from the Mercedes-Benz website. I just thought it was like a nice sentiment. It says, quote, without her strong will and unshakable belief in her husband's success, the company Benz & Co. would probably never have existed. Bertha Benz gave her husband the support that allowed the ingenious inventor and designer to hold on to the rightness of his life's work in difficult times of bitter setbacks and emerging self-doubt. So thanks to her unshakable optimism and ability to analyze difficult situations precisely, she always finds a way out.
Iconic.
Can you imagine believing in somebody that much?
Yeah, I believe myself that much.
Somebody else. Can you imagine believing in your husband that much that you're constantly like having to be the support source for emotional, physical, mental, financial, like you're like,
yes,
it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I just did that. I did actually.
Mm.
While Seth was going to school and transitioning into a new field, it was me.
Yeah. It was not an entire lifetime.
No, I don't know how long I could have done it for, but
that's what I'm saying. Like she.
I mean,
she
at some point, she
invested
always
in him before they were even married. She was like, this guy's got failing businesses and I'm going to marry him anyway, you know?
Hello. But like,
so,
I imagine it was like, you know, the beginning of all of it. My personal belief is that once they got past her little stunt and it proved out and people were all of a sudden in support.
Yeah.
She probably didn't have as much legwork to do in that arena as she did when everybody was a naysayer, I bet.
Yeah, maybe not. But
hopefully
that was
not.
about 20 years.
That's a long time, for
between
sure.
Initial meeting and...
Oh, and don't forget, she had a litany of children.
Yes. Well, and I did the quick math because the oldest one was 15. I'm like, just tap on 5 more years to that. And it was basically 20 years.
Yeah.
Of like following this dream. I guess it's because it was like her dream as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, she was that bought into it.
Yeah, there's passion for sure. I mean, let's be honest. You don't take the only thing that exists of its kind like that and just sneak out without having some sort of passion for it. Because she was in for a world of experience and adventure, if you will.
So the resources that I used today were Wikipedia, Benz or Mercedes-Benz.com, Automotive Hall of Fame, Britannica.com, Denso-AM.EU, and Cloverland's CarMuseum.com.
Thank you for sharing that wonderful, beautiful story of
You're
Bitcoin.
welcome. You're
Yeah,
welcome.
that's just I love that. I love that it was actually a woman.
I honestly wish I did know more about her, like, and
Yeah.
that there was more information about
How
just
sassy she
her.
was and how funny she
Yeah, just
was, like her
her specific.
character. I get that.
But I do love that all of those sources that I mentioned were just straight up like it was Bertha. Like
Let's
Carl
be
was
honest.
there, you know,
He
but
was there. He digged her down a bunch, but you know, other than that, maybe lifted a heavy thing or two on occasion, but she was kind of running the show there, let's be real.
So
Thank you, Eunice, for dropping the little charm biscuit in Nicole's lap today.
I know, right? Otherwise, I would have just been using our list or whatever. Which is all, I mean, that's fine too,
Yeah.
but it's just nice when they fall in your lap.
Well, without further ado,
We ready for Atta Girls?
yeah, and I think I'm doing the countdown on my brain. I think spring is only like 12 days away or something like that, right?
I don't know.
Something. I'm excited.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
She
things
goes,
are springing
okay.
up. My landscape is like boop, boop, boop. Here's little springs.
And I'm gearing up for my garden this year.
Man. My Atta Girl is this is so silly. Oh my goodness. Okay, so my Atta Girl, these are things where we pat ourselves in the back for something good that we've done or something good that's happened to us. Okay. My Dyson vacuum is like almost exactly 5 years old. The warranty on it runs out at 5 years. Well, when I looked it up initially, I had like 2 months left on my warranty.
Can I just stop for a second and say that I actually remember this conversation when you went to purchase this vacuum? I remember
What, the warranty conversation?
the amount of excitement you had for the coupon that you got and all
Oh,
the deal.
yeah.
The whole I like it was yesterday, remember this from you. Okay, continue. 'Cause it was like, is this what adulting is now? I'm getting excited for this vacuum that I'm getting ready to buy.
Yes. And I thought it was appropriate today with it being German engineered and us having a German story that I would share this. I don't know if you picked up on that or not.
Oh.
But so my Dyson vacuum, when I looked up my warranty, had like 2 months left. Well, when I was preparing to sell my house, I took the back hose off to vacuum the stairs. And when I went to put it back on, the vacuum wouldn't start. And then the next day it started. So I was like, oh, maybe just something was like not on there, right? Because you know, it's like a safety thing where like if it's not put back exactly like in its little slot, like it doesn't turn on. So then I do it again and it doesn't start again. So then I reach out to Dyson and
Because the shit's not cheap. It's not like you're just gonna go buy another one.
Well, you know, and it's
It's an
under warranty.
investment.
It's under warranty. So I fill out the claim form, and it takes a while for them to respond to my claim form. They tell me to use this account number at UPS. I can just take my vacuum. They'll package it and ship it under like the Dyson account.
Okay.
I clean out the vacuum, make sure like the vacuum eventually turns back on. It just doesn't turn on right away. It's like, it's got to settle for a night or something.
Yeah. When I'm ready.
So I vacuum the house. I clean it out. I take it to the UPS. I give them the account number and they're like, this is missing a digit. And I'm like, okay. So
can you just look it up potentially?
Well, that's what I'm like, can you look it up? And like, they couldn't find it or whatever. I don't know. It was, maybe they were newbies in this store or something. And so then they're like, well, you can try calling Dyson, like while you were standing here or whatever. 60 minute to wait on the phone. So I was like, okay, well, I'll be coming back later. So a couple of weeks go by because I'm like, you know, I could probably just look in this thing myself and figure it out, right? Because I send them a message back saying wrong number, like need a new number. They're not responding to me, blah, blah, blah. Time's ticking away as my warranty is running out. They finally give me a new account number. I go to a different UPS store and they're like, what is this? And I was like, it's the account number, like the reference number they gave me. And they're like, no, this doesn't make any sense. I was like, okay. Do you know what does make sense though? Then can you tell me? Because
I'm about to throw this vacuum at you, sir. Help me. Help me help you.
This guy's able to find the Dyson thing.
Thank God.
Yes. Yeah, so he was not a newbie. He was skilled at this. And that store happened to have a Dyson.
Oh, perfect. So he was familiar.
So he gets it figured out. And I'm like, oh, God, are you sure it's going to the right place, though? Like, it's not an office versus like a warranty fixing place. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's right. I ask him if I can write down my name and information, include it in the package, because
you don't trust.
I was like,
it.
If this ends up at somebody's corporate office, like it's never getting back to me. So I email Dyson and I'm like, none of the numbers you send me work. I've sent it off to this address. Godspeed.
So instead, I've sent it to here.
And they respond. They respond days later with like nothing that makes sense.
Neat. Thumbs up.
And they keep telling me that I have a coupon for a new, you know, whatever.
That's all they want you to do. They don't want you to actually get this warranty claim. They want you to buy a new one.
So then, I don't know, 2 days later or something. So the UPS guy tells me it's supposed to arrive at the Dyson place on a Wednesday. And he's like, here's the tracking number. Check it on Wednesday. Make sure it got there. I did not.
Oh,
next day, Thursday, I get an email saying that my machine has been checked in for service. And then 10 minutes later, I get another email saying your machine is on your way back to you.
Shut the fuck up.
And so it says in the report that there was a clog and a loose screw.
Hey, they did their job. Cool. Thorough.
So I checked the delivery status and it's supposed to be delivered today back to me. Can I just tell you the amount of persistence and wherewithal it takes to lug this fucking vacuum around multiple times?
Yes.
Wait days upon days in between like correspondence. Then get back-to-back emails of like your machine's been checked in and fixed. And I'm like, that's just clearly not enough time to fix it.
Clearly.
So, I mean, we'll see what shows up. If it shows up today, it's apparently supposed to. I checked the UPS tracking. But I have to say, I was a little nervous that I was not going to get my vacuum back, or they were going to hold on to it for a long enough amount of time that my warranty was going to run out or something. And I'm in between two houses and I need to vacuum two houses. And I was like, I'm just going to have to buy another vacuum.
I mean,
that's
I
what
have
it's going to boil down to.
I have one that you can probably keep if you want to use it. Free cleaners. Take it, fuck it up, and then throw it away.
Oh, but yeah, so in between packing and other
I don't know where you
many
found the
surprises,
time.
I don't know either.
Like, where did you find the time to do all this? I'm still having a problem submitting my reimbursement request to Delta, and that's just online. You're out here willy-nilly driving around and picking things up and putting them down. Like, nope.
Yep. That's my atta girl.
She goes, yep. Atta girl. I'm glad that your persistence potentially paid off. I will have to get an update next week.
I know. Yeah. I know.
This
I know.
Might be a two-parter. Dyson saga continues.
And I'm sharing the news slightly prematurely because of the German connection.
Well, that's fine. You're manifesting positivity.
Yes. Yeah. Well, obviously we've talked at the beginning about a positive mindset, but I was like, oh, it's a German connection.
Perfect. I had a girl. Proud of you for finding the time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, what's your atta girl after my long-winded story?
I paid off all my debt. That's
that.
My
well, that was a much faster story.
Yeah. Balance yours out. I paid off all my debt.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's awesome.
We received.
So happy for you.
Thank you. Received a bonus from my job, which is the first time I've been compensated so appropriately for the work I put in, let's be honest. So I decided to just make life easier and wipe out everything that I had from like moving in, yada yada. So we are at a clean slate start, and I couldn't be more thrilled about it.
Yeah, major stress reliever. You literally feel it like come off the shoulders, you know?
I the burden of getting groceries, because grocery store shopping is so expensive anymore. You know, it's like $500 a trip. That's a lot of
$12
money.
$12 cereals.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm not buying cereal. That's the worst part. I'm trying to buy like fresh shit so I don't die from preservative shit. And it's expensive to be healthy, y'all.
It is.
You all know it. So yeah, I no longer worry that I will be spending too much money on just food. August's face.
I know. Your cat's face is very funny right now. Oh my gosh. He's like a meme. Well, that's awesome. I know. Isn't it crazy? Like, to think that we are productive members of society who are fairly compensated and are still thinking about how are we going to pay for food.
Yeah. It's sickening.
It's wild.
And I feel for the folks who don't have the opportunities that we have, can't afford what we can afford. Like, you know, fast food used to be an option because it was mildly healthy. Now it's all just fucked. And it takes forever to get it. It's awful. I feel so bad for those communities of people.
Did you hear that ring come through?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just got a spam call and my computer started ringing and I was like, oh, bells of truth.
Ding, ding, ding.
No.
Oh, yeah, so, that's funny. So
if you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe, share it with your friends. Helps us with the algorithms. If you've got a hoe of history you'd like to recommend, then you can reach out to us via email at homancepodcast@gmail.com or Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can also join the Facebook group, The Homance Chronicles, a judgment-free zone for, I don't know what anymore. It's kind of
mayhem.
Slowed down. I guess you could go back through and look at all the past shocking information. Yeah. I think that's everything.
That's it. All right. Well, thanks all. Homance out.